Good morning. My name's Rosie. I'm one of the pastors here at Stirling Baptist Church. I've been off for a whole year on maternity leave, and I've been back 3 weeks, and church has completely changed. I had my kids all settled in at nursery, and my little one all settled in with a childminder, and here we are back. I've got my kids back at home with me. So it's an interesting season, and it's an interesting time. But I'm really excited to be with you this morning and just to share a subject that's really special to me, and really, I just love teaching on it. We're going to be looking at prayer, as what Rab has mentioned. We're going to be embarking on the prayer course that's, I think it's written by Pete Gregg, who was the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement. And I just think there's so many things we can learn about prayer, whether we are just a new Christian, whether we're searching, or whether we've been a Christian for a really long time. So I really encourage you to get plugged into some of the Zoom house groups that are going on. Contact David during the week if you're not involved and you'd like to get involved. But one of the questions that the title I've been given this morning is Why Pray? And out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. So one of the things I'm really aware of, that we're going to be going through the Lord's Prayer for the next 8 weeks. So in Luke's Gospel, there's a little bit of the Lord's Prayer, so I'm going to try really hard and not mention it and not talk too much about it, because I feel there's so much other things we could say, and I don't want to be too repetitive for what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. But one of the things we do ask that question, why pray, particularly in this current season, some of us might have given up praying. Some of us might be praying even more than what we've ever prayed before, because we're in a pandemic, we're in a lockdown situation, and there's just lots of things going on in our lives that we've maybe never experienced before. But one of the things I want to share with you is a quote. As I was kind of doing a little bit of homework this week, I came across one of Billy Graham's sermons. And it was just a small snippet of a 10-minute sermon, and it was about the power of prayer. And one of the quotes I want to give you, he says, many of us have not learned how to develop the power of prayer. We've not yet learned that a man is more powerful on his knees than behind the most powerful weapons we have developed. We have not learned that a nation is more powerful when it unites in earnest prayer to God. And we have not discovered that the answer to our problems can be through contact with God. Billy Graham is a famous American evangelist, and he's a man definitely of prayer who brought many, many people to faith. And I just love that whole, just one paragraph, because it's a challenge to all of us about the power of prayer. Some of us have not learned how to develop the power of prayer. Some of us maybe have, but maybe as we unpack prayer a little bit more this morning, what I really want to come across through what I want to share is that prayer is powerful. I feel that I'm a living testimony to the power of prayer. I want to share a little bit of my story. I became a Christian probably at a really, really young age. My parents were Christians. I was brought up in the church. My dad was a pastor. And all through those years, I was nurtured in the Christian faith. But with anyone who's grown up in the church, there comes a point where you question your faith, and you have to make it completely and utterly your own. I remember going through difficult situations as a teenager. I had a lot of anxiety, I had a lot of worry, I developed a lot of stomach ulcers. There was a lot of broken relationships, and there was a lot of things going on in my life at that particular time. And when I was 18 years old, I remember in my brokenness, just questioning my faith and just questioning if God was really real. And in my desperation, I prayed, God, if you're really real, show me. And that night I went to bed and I had a dream. It was a supernatural experience. I'd never had one of them before. And in that dream, it was a picture. It could have been an angelic being, but for me, the picture was really clear. It was a picture of arms opened wide. And for me, I just knew that that was Jesus saying to me, Rosie, I am here. I love you so much. I just want you to understand the depth of my love in your brokenness. And when I woke up in the morning, I thought, what, was that real? I just felt an overwhelming sense of God's love. And I opened up my Bible. I wasn't really praying that much, but I opened up my Bible anyway. And there was a scripture telling me how much God loved me. The next day, I went to church, completely broken, not even wanting to go. And they sang a song that just spoke completely into my situation. The song was, Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I'll never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock, and now I know. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend. And I just broke down in these words and just thought, I just desire that. I wish God would just pick me up and stick me on a rock and tell me it's going to be okay. I just wish he could be my closest friend, because at the moment I don't have a lot of friends that understand me and understand my brokenness and what I'm going through. And you know, that was the start of a powerful journey. I believe my incredible encounter with the living God was the result of other people praying for me in my brokenness. I could turn around and tell you today that I was physically healed from stomach ulcers, anxiety, and fear of the world and all the things that were going on in my life at that time, and that was completely true. But emotionally, the healing was a journey. I remember just having that determination that it was just going to be me and God now. That was the only way I was going to get through this situation. It was the only way I was going to get better. And every day, I just learned scripture after scripture after scripture, which told me how much God loved me and how much God cared for me. And I'd stick it in my pocket. I would write wee verses out and stick it in my pocket and go to work that day. And every time I felt really low or had a low self-esteem and just felt horrible things about myself, I'd pick out these scriptures and just speak them out. And you know, I did that for 6 months. And I remember the day I was standing outside and I felt completely free. And I didn't feel that pain. I didn't feel the hatred and the unforgiveness of all the situations that I'd felt. I felt an overwhelming sense of the power of God's love, not just for myself, but for others. I was completely set free that day. And you know, for me, that was the start of an incredible journey. An incredible journey of God doing things as a result of the power of prayer. And when we look at this scripture in Luke 11, where one of the disciples come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Why would they ask a question like that? These disciples have been journeying with Jesus for a little while now. They've seen him doing miracles. They've seen him doing incredible, crazy things. And they know that he's the real deal. I'm sure they have no doubt about that. But there was just something that just kept happening that they were really curious about. Every time Jesus would be hanging out with them and he'd spend time with people and he'd minister to people and there'd be healings and different things going on, and then he would just disappear. He would just go away to pray by himself. In Luke 6, verse 12, it says, in those days he went out to the mountain to pray, and he prayed all night to God the Father. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, but he would withdraw to a desolate place on his own and just pray. We have this incredible picture of Jesus' baptism, when all the people were baptized, and Jesus also was baptized and was praying, and then the heavens opened, and a voice came from God, saying, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. What an incredible encounter as a result of prayer. One of the stories that I really love is the feeding of the 5,000. Here we have Jesus up on a place in the middle of nowhere with his disciples ministering and laying hands and healing people and all this amazing stuff happening, and it's getting really late. And the disciples look around them and they're starting to get a little bit concerned because there are no shops nearby. They're like, Jesus, we need to send these people away because we need to get food, we need to get sorted. And basically, Jesus says to the disciples, well, why don't you feed them? And they're like, what? How can we feed them? Go and see what food we have amongst us. And then they come back with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, that's it. That is literally it. But you know what? It's the start of another incredible miracle where Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he prays over it. And then they start dishing out the food. And there's just enough for everybody. It's absolutely incredible. And after this whole day of teaching and ministering and praying for healing and having all this happening, if that was me, if I was Jesus, I'd be wanting to talk to my disciples and say, this was such an exciting day. It was so amazing. Look what happened. And let's talk about it. Let's debrief. But no, he sends his disciples away and off he goes away up to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone, all by himself. Jesus only walked on this earth and did ministry for 3 years. All that time of the years before he got to doing public ministry was preparation, was prayer and reading God's word and just learning more and just developing that intimacy with the Father. And here we have him doing this ministry for a short period of time and taking all this time out to spend time with the Father. If there's something we can learn, oh my goodness, we can learn that. That our God loves us so much and desires that intimacy. These disciples caught on that, yeah, they could see all this incredible things happening, but they actually wanted to know Jesus. How do we pray like how you pray? How do we have that intimacy with God? How do we get to know him the way that you know him? As he's up on the mountain praying, the disciples get in a boat and they're hanging out in the boat, and yeah, it gets a bit stormy. The waves are a bit high. It is a little bit scary. And here comes Jesus in the midst of the storm, walking on the water. And I just love Peter's words. Jesus, if that is really you, call me to come out to meet you. Jesus, if that, do you know it's okay to pray, God, if you're really real, show me. Do you know it's okay to pray, Jesus, is it really you there in this situation? Because I just don't know at the moment. Because I'm so scared and I'm so terrified. There he was meeting them where they're at. I just love that verse. When we go back and we look at Luke 11, the disciple said, teach us to pray. He says, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive anyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And then he said to them, which of you is a friend who will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing set before him. And he will answer within, do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? An incredible picture of God as Father, that he loves you. He wants to give you what you ask for. He wants you to seek him. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to come close. He wants to have that intimacy. He wants to share things with you. And you know, I tell you, as we go through this life and we face many uncertain circumstances, and particularly in the time that we're living in at the moment, we need supernatural power sometimes just to get through the next hour, sometimes just to get through the next day, and sometimes just to get through the next month. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That is the power source from which we live our Christian lives. I want to share a story with you of a person who I really admire. Her name is Heidi Baker, and she's a missionary in Mozambique. She was called as a young person to go and work with the poor. And I had the privilege of going to hear her speak in St. Andrew's at Clangatherin one year. And she's just an incredible woman who prays. And she prays a lot. And she would just pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Whatever you want me to do, I will go and I will be there. And God called her and her husband to go to Mozambique to work with the poorest of the poorest kids. And sometimes in the early parts of their ministry, they were very overwhelmed. But one of the things she knew more than anything was that she had, like myself, an overwhelming, incredible encounter of the love of God. And she says, as a quote, but God's love is big enough to touch any life, to make light out of any darkness. Jesus came that we might have life so that no more would we have to die in depression, anger, and pain. He loved people back to life. He would go anywhere. He would talk to anyone. And wherever he went, he would stop for the ones, the forgotten ones, the ones who were rejected, outcast, sick, even stone dead, even a thief who was dying for his crimes on the cross next to him. In the kingdom of God's love, There is no sinner who cannot come home. When she spoke those words, it's out of the life that she's been living. One of the stories I just want to close with is that as they started their ministry, they were praying and asking God, how do we reach out to the children in Mozambique? And the Spirit of God clearly spoke to them and said, I want you to go to the rubbish tip. Because there's the kids, they're looking through the rubbish, they're looking for food, they're looking for things to sell. And particularly children that are abandoned, they just dump them there because nobody wants them. And her team, they went along to the rubbish tip. And it was overwhelming what they saw and what they experienced, but they felt God really clearly had called them to set up an orphanage for these kids. And they would go in their truck and they would pick up these children and put them in their truck and take them home and love them back to life, back to health, back to strength. They would teach them about Jesus, but giving them a hope and a purpose. And one particular day, they were driving through the rubbish tip. And some of the workers, I think, said, oh, we'll just leave those kids, but there's no point, Heidi. We've got so many kids, we can't take any more. And those ones are nearly dead. You know, we just have to leave them to die. And she says, oh, no, we're not leaving them. And she picks them up, and she puts them in her truck, and she takes them home. And the words that she spoke, she said, if this is the end for some of these children because they're so sick, some of them are healed and some of them are not, she said, but if I take one of these children in my arms and give them a cuddle and I pray over them, I want this child to know that they're going to leave this world knowing that they were loved before they go to be with their Heavenly Father. What an incredible statement of prayer of someone who was just listening to God, who had that intimacy with God, to be able to stop in the midst of a crazy situation and say, okay, God, I'm listening. I'll do what you asked me to do. As we close and we come to the end of this message this morning, I just want to declare prayer is powerful. My testimony is a living story of that, and I'm sure many people in our church and many of you who are listening this morning, your faith is a result, your healing is a result of maybe somebody else praying for you. Do you know it's okay to pray this morning if you're feeling really desperate? God, if you're really real, show me. Jesus, is that you in this situation? God, come close. Show us how much you love us. Show us the power of prayer. Wouldn't it be amazing if I took that Billy Graham quote and we could all say together, I have learned to develop the power of prayer. And I know that when I get on my knees and when I meet with other Christians together and we pray together, that is one of the most powerful things that we can do on this earth. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you that we can come and have that intimate relationship with you. I thank you that we can seek you. We can ask you anything. And Lord, if we don't know you this morning, if we come and knock, you will open up that door and you will open up those arms. Because you're an incredible God who loves us so much. In the midst of our situation, in the midst of the lockdown that we're all experiencing at the moment, we have more time than ever to spend time with you. More time than ever to read your word and come closer. Lord, let us make the most of every opportunity. You know how we feel. You know what we've experienced. You know what we're going through. And I pray that you would come and meet us where we're at this morning and help us to get excited and just to know that coming to you and praying with you is powerful. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.